read together. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother and wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Woo! That's some strong words there. And may God help us to understand for our benefit this morning. I pray that as we break the bread of life, open the Word of God, that He will help to teach us what that means so that we can come and follow and be His disciples. You know, this morning, I want to ask you, how many of you like to go shopping? There's some hands. So some of you like that. Well, when my wife manages to get me to go shopping with her, which is rare, but it does happen from time to time, when she tries on a piece of clothing and then she asks, "Well, what do you think of this on me?" Sound like a stop? Well, I've got a response. Here's my response. "How much does it cost?" And if she says, "Well, it's only $15. And I say, "Well, you never looked so good in all your life." But if she says it's $150, I say, "That thing really takes away from your good looks." Oh, come on, guys. Don't tell me you've never done that before. I know you have. One of the most deceptive things in our society is keeping people from knowing the true cost of an item. You know, you see those ads on TV, and there's a car ad that comes on TV, and it blasts out. It says, "You can have this vehicle for only $99 a month." And then very quickly it flashes up on the screen. You'll see in very small letters, but it requires $9,900 due at the time of signing, plus the taxes and the title and the destination charges, not included, but it's in addition to the price already there. And, it's just a few seconds of real loud, but it's a deal. Some deal, right? Well, are you get a advertisement in the mail of a credit card, and they flash out on the opening when you open the envelope that it's guaranteed 3% interest. And then in very small print, you can't read it, even with glasses, you can't tell exactly what it says, but what it's printed there, if you get a magnifying glass, you'll find out that it says, "This rate is only good for 3 hours after you open the account." And it also says, at that time, the rate will be 13%. And if you were to buy something with the card, then the rate's going to be 33% or whatever the maximum allowed amount is allowed by law. We are promised that we're getting a great deal by the ad, but we're actually being ripped off. Hidden cost is a kind of abuse. But much of it is caused by our failure to ask the question, how much does this actually cost? You see, every day in life, we face choices. Every choice that we make, we should be asking that same question. When we make a choice or a decision, we should say, how much is this going to cost me? Life is full of choices that we need to ask that before we start making the decision. Let me give you an example. How much does it cost to act foolish at school and not finish, drop out, or not really try, even if you are there, not try to learn? How much does it cost you? Practically everything. How much does it cost to treat another person badly? Cost one's character and soul. How much does it cost to be unfaithful in a marriage? many immoral things are done because people have not answered the question fully. How much does it cost? You see, none of us appreciate the cost fully of what immorality cost us in the eyes of God. You need to ask the question, how much will it cost me for doing this? And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about what will it cost you emotionally? What will it cost you spiritually? What will it cost you socially? Everything comes with baggage. How much will it cost? How much does it cost to not go to the doctor because you're afraid of what they might find? How much does it cost for you to hate someone? We like to think that we can get by without paying the price. But we can't control some of the high immoral costs that are involved in our decisions and what we do. Let me ask you a personal question. How many of you have ever thought you were getting something at a good price and it ended up costing you more than you ever dreamed that it would? Ever had that happen? I mean, I have to admit that I've had that happen more than once. The deal was offered, and I thought, wow, this is going to be good. And boy, did I ever pay a dear price for something that did not fulfill its promise. How many of you can look back on your life and say, what I got out of doing that, what I thought it was going to do, what I thought it was going to be for my life, it wasn't worth the price. It wasn't worth what I had to go through, what I had to suffer through, what I had to pay for. It was a bad deal. So what's the deal with how we bargain with God? We have come to think that our relationship with God can be gotten at a bargain. Somehow we think we all love God in some way and that we will all go to heaven somehow, some way by saying that we are a follower of Jesus. We believe in Jesus. We all desire to make it to heaven, and we all desire to do it in the easiest way that we can. Here's how Christianity works. We are deep in debt. All of us have disobeyed God, even for those who don't think they're a bad person, who don't think that they've done some of the things that other people do. So surely it's going to be easier for them to get into heaven than it would be for someone else. But we all have fallen short, no matter what we think that where we're at in that. All of us deserve hell, the Bible says. And we will be punished for our sins. The Bible says, if we do not pay for our sins, the Bible says, and we do not find the forgiveness that is necessary for sin, we will end up in hell. The Bible says. However, God loved us so much that He wants to pay that debt. He wants to make it possible so that no one would have to go to hell. No one would have to suffer that way. So God made a way to have a right relationship, a debt-free relationship with Him. God will not make anyone accept His plan. God just offers it. He says, here's the deal. And He offers it to people. But if people don't accept it, if people don't want it, it's a choice they have to make. Oh, God, tears fall. And God comes to us in so many different ways to offer us this wonderful, wonderful gift. How do we have a debt-free relationship with God, our Heavenly Father? Jesus said it this way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to heaven, or no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the gift. Jesus is the grace. Jesus could never have been a pastor of a church in his day, because he kept turning people off with his message. Jesus could have healed everybody, but he didn't. Jesus could have made everyone wealthy, but he didn't. Jesus could have fed every person in the country, in the world, but he didn't. Instead, he spent his time telling people to follow him, because he was the way, the truth, and the life. And that's what they needed more than the healing, more than the food, more than the wealth. That's what they needed. And so Jesus said, follow me. That was his message. Come and follow me. But, he said, first count the cost of what it will be to follow me. Most of us think that it's free to follow Jesus. It's easy to follow Jesus. And Jesus is saying, you just don't get it. It is not free and it is not easy. He said, let me give you an illustration of what I mean about counting the cost. Suppose a person wants to build a large house. Would he just all of a sudden kick some dirt around and begin to put a foundation in and put up a few walls, and then after a bit he sees that's as far as he can go? That's it. That building that he is putting up would be a complete waste of time and energy and money and effort. Others, Jesus said, would come by and they would look at the house that he started and they would laugh at him. They will say, this guy started building and didn't even have a plan, didn't even understand what it was going to cost him, didn't even understand what it was going to mean to do this, and now he's not able to finish it. How foolish. He did not count the cost, Jesus said. And Jesus said, well, let me put it another way. Suppose a king, or let's say a ruler, Korea, is about to go to war with another country. Wouldn't it be a good idea for him to sit down and to count the cost? People or kings or rulers still do not listen to this very simple illustration by Jesus. They do not count the real cost. I want you to imagine, in the scripture, if you read right before we read our scripture lesson in Luke 14, we find that Jesus is out there and there's crowds of people coming to him and listening to his teaching and listening to this this offer of new life, this offer of having a relationship with God. And here are these hundreds and thousands of people, Jesus. And Jesus looks at this large crowd, and he sees them running after him, and he knew they were looking for an easy way, an easy religion that didn't count, that wasn't going to cost them very much. And so people were looking so that they could find an easy way to feel good about their relationship with God. Jesus puts the cost of being his disciples out in front of them, and he says this. He does not say it really fast as the commercials do. He's not blaring it out, and he didn't throw out a bunch of words on the television screen that are there in just one long paragraph with all kinds of disclaimers in it that you couldn't read in the 3 seconds it's left on the screen. Jesus didn't do that. This is what Jesus says to the crowd. Listen to this, because it could mean your life. He says, those of you who are wondering what is the cost to be one of my disciples, Jesus says, here it is. Anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brother and sisters, yes, and even hate his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. You could have heard a pin drop when Jesus was telling this to this huge crowd. Somebody, no doubt, was thinking in that crowd, what kind of fool would make that kind of statement? If that's what it takes to be one of his disciples, then I'm out of here. Somebody else was thinking, maybe I didn't hear him right. Surely, that's not what Jesus is meaning. Maybe he was referring to one of his other disciples, one of those that kind of follow him around every day. Not me, not an ordinary disciple. Surely he doesn't expect this of all of us. And somebody else was thinking, wow, that is deep. I really, if I'm going to follow him, I'm going to have to change my life. I'm going to have to make some changes if I'm going to follow this guy. But then Jesus heard the person that he was wanting to hear. They were saying, if that's what it's cost, then that's what I've got to do. I need to make some changes in my life, and I need to do it now. Jesus says the first cost of following him means there are going to be some relationship changes in our lives. There's going to be some things we have to realign with God and not with ourselves and not with the world. He's talking about a relationship that we're going to have that's going to be different than the way it is in the way that makes it easy for us. Jesus is going to put some requirements on us that means other people are not going to be that crazy about the changes he's making in our lives. So we will find ourselves in a position of not being able to do the things we used to do. We will find ourselves not being able to think and to say and to act the way that maybe we have been acting and doing. Now you have to know that Jesus is not talking about hating other people. Well, you say, well, that's what the scripture said. No. That's not what it says. What Jesus is telling us that it's going to be the feeling they get. They get the feeling that you hate them, that you hate your mother and your father. They're going to get the feeling you hate your brothers and sisters. You're going to get that feeling they get when you reject them, because to follow Christ means I can't do that, I can't be that, and I can't agree with you on that. And as soon as you start doing that, it's going to seem like you hate them. I guarantee you, if you follow Jesus and you try to live for God, the world will say, okay, I respect you, but really, they will hate you for it. They will say, why are you in my face telling me what I can do and can't do? I don't want you telling me what I can't do. I don't want you pointing out that I'm not a good person. I don't want it to make it seem like you're holier than me. See, that's not what you're doing. When you follow Jesus, you're going to have to say, if you really love people, care about people, that if they are in the wrong, that you need to tell them they are, and you need to do something about that. How much does it cost to follow Jesus? It costs crying some nights because you had to let a family member or someone, a friend or someone you love, go, because you can't live like they do. You can't do what they do. And it's going to be painful. It costs being ridiculed and laughed at because you're going to be different. You're not going to follow the relevant things that are happening in the world. It costs courage because sometimes you're going to have to stand all by yourself for what is right and do what is right and say what is right. And it's going to be a lonely experience because you're going to find that the world's not going to be going that way. It's going to cost giving away some of your money. Because doing the right thing is no longer an option. You have to care about others. It costs being a part of some groups because you may have to give more of your time in serving in the kingdom. Jesus really kicks it up a level when he says, now, not only will you be hating others, but you need to hate your very life. Following Jesus is not simply about coming to church and singing some songs and hearing a sermon and going back home to live the same kind of way. Following Jesus is about accounting the cost every time we make decisions about what it means to love God. In other words, it's about being obedient, which is second nature. It's about admitting when we have sinned and asking God's forgiveness and asking one another's forgiveness and turning away from it. In other words, it's just not believing in Jesus. It's not just believing in God. It's also about confessing, about repenting, and believing. Jesus says, anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. And the most difficult thing you can do in life is to pick up your cross and follow Jesus. There's no greater challenge in life. And that's what Jesus was trying to tell the crowd. You remember when he was preaching this, eventually the crowd turned away and didn't follow him anymore. He was asking too much. We find in our world people do the same thing. You start telling people what it means to follow Jesus, and you find people falling away because they say, well, you know, I don't think that's what I want to do. What does your cross look like? When Jesus said, take up your cross, what is your cross? What does your cross look like? Your cross is your desires. You're not going to want to always follow Jesus. Sometimes you're not going to want to take care of that person that he has put in your life. Sometimes you're going to want to steal that money. Sometimes you're going to want to be unfaithful. You're going to want to get your own way. You're going to want to do the wrong thing. You're going to want to do as you please. Jesus is saying, I understand that. I know you have this tendency. I know you wrestle with the evil that is within this world and within you. I understand that. And a lot of people want that. And a lot of people do that. And they can do that because they do that. But Jesus said, but they can't live that way and be my disciple. Is Jesus saying that to follow him means we're to live and welcome misery and suffering in our lives? Well, it does cost some suffering. But following Jesus is always going to be the best thing for us in the long run. It's going to be the best life that we could ever possibly live. Jesus even gives us a promise of a greater restoration if we're willing to trust him. But you don't get it unless you're willing to pay the cost. Here's what he says in Mark 10, 29 and 30. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. No one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in the present age. They will receive homes and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and fields. And with that, they will also have persecution, but in the age to come, they will have a glorious eternal life. Sometimes it's a good question to ask. How much does it cost to follow Jesus Christ? And now that's a question you need to answer before you leave. this place today. How much will it cost you to follow Christ? But it's equally as important to ask this question too. How much does it cost you to not follow Jesus? That is a question that God is asking each one of us to answer this morning. Jesus is here. Jesus is real. Jesus dying for our sins and paying that price is for real. But what Jesus did is not available to us at a discount. How much does it cost to follow Jesus? Everything we've got. Pray with me. Lord, you're saying that you want me to come and to follow you and to be your disciple. And I want to do that, Father. That's what I want in my life. I want to be in your family. And I, in my love for you, Lord, I want to follow Jesus. But I know you're telling me to count the cost. You're telling each one of us here this morning to count the cost. You want us this morning to surrender our life to you, Lord Jesus, and to come and give our all to you. How much is it going to cost this morning? It's going to cost everything. But Lord, I know because of your gift to us and your cross, because on the cross Jesus died to pay the price for our sin and give us new life, and that God, what you want to give us, it's nothing that we give up, even our whole life, is going to be nearly anything close to what you want to give us. You want to give us new life. You want to give us Jesus Christ in his fullness. You want to give us the abundant life. You want to give us the truth. So, Father, in the cross of Jesus Christ, in that wonderful cross, we come now, Father, to receive that gift. We surrender our all. We take up our cross, Father, to follow you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We pray that in Christ's name. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, stand with me. Count the cost. Give your all. And may in the cross, in that wonderful cross, may we find the life that God wants us to have. Would you stand and would you recommit your life to him?